Great. Well, I'm excited to be here. I'm a northern girl, but I love being in the South. Yes, I really do love being in the South. I married a southern boy. He's from Kentucky. He's just not only from the South, he was from the hills of Kentucky. And let me tell you this, when I started cooking for him, I cooked the northern way. And things weren't working out real well in our marriage when we first got married, because he didn't like northern food. And so I had to learn to cook. I had never cooked, what do you call those beans? We don't eat them in the North. What? Pinto beans. I never had them in my entire life. We don't eat them in the North. In the North, we have potatoes. Potatoes. In the South, you got beans. And so I had to really learn to cook. And so I didn't learn to cook grits. Sorry, Miss Enos. I don't know how to cook grits. They don't serve grits where I live. Nobody eats grits. They eat bacon and potatoes. Everybody eats potatoes. But I'm really excited to be here. I'm blessed, and my countenance is sharpened by knowing the preacher's wife here already. She's been here 38 years. How faithful is that? And her husband started the church, and that's a blessing to me personally. 48 years. She looks younger. 38 was good. We'll keep it 38. 48 years. I thought I've been in one spot long enough. My husband started our church 28 years ago. And it was just him and me and this little two-week-old baby. And I sat in a little cabin crying, I want my mother. As he went around knocking on doors and winning people to Christ. But that was the burden that God had given us. And I always thought I would live in the South. I don't know. I married a Southern young man, but I am from Philadelphia. I don't sound like it anymore. I don't talk about, you know, we're going to go over to the radiator, you know, and I don't talk like that anymore. But I am just honored and privileged to be here today and to get to meet so many of you great ladies. But the pastor's wife especially just encourages my heart. And Miss Wendy, when she would call our church, the receptionist at our church is my mother-in-law. And she's from the South, too, and up northerner. So I call her Granny up there. So Granny said, there's this lady that keeps calling you with this Southern accent. And she goes, I can't understand a word she's saying. And I said, I know the feeling, because a few minutes ago, the preacher's wife said, give me some of that sneakers. And I was looking on the floor here. I was looking for sneakers, like shoes. And it was Snickers. She wanted Snickers. And so I honestly thought she said sneakers. And that's what they call them on the East Coast, sneakers. But I have had to learn to cook Southern a little bit. There's one thing I don't cook, though, that I saw that y'all had for breakfast out there today, and that was biscuits and gravy. I tried doing biscuits, but these are Northern fingers and Northern hands. And let me tell you, girls from the North, we can't do stuff like that. We cannot cook biscuits. I can make you up a little bit of gravy that my grandmother taught me to cook, but I can't do biscuits. If the very first time I made my husband's biscuits, he went, really? He just looked at me and said, really? I mean, it was so bad I could take it. It would bounce off that wall, hit that wall, and then clean, knock one of you girlfriends out. They were hard. They were really hard. So this is what I do. And, you know, it's really okay if you do some things. And, you know, you're not really supposed to have any secrets or any secrets at all between you and your husband. But you know what? Do y'all have Bob Evans down here? Yeah, so if my husband wants Southern food, he goes to Bob Evans and I'll go along with him. And so we don't even have sweet tea up north. Isn't that sad? Everything is like black tea, and I love sweet tea. You gotta like go to the table and rip open the sugar, and it just doesn't taste the same, does it, when you put it in there? And so, but that's okay. I've learned to go to Bob Evans. And do you know that you can purchase their biscuits from them uncooked? And then you sneak them home and you put them in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And you know, my husband does not ask questions because he loves them. And he, you know, I'm sure he's figured it out, but he's not gonna say a word. And I actually did it at the church one time, and they thought I was mixing up biscuits, and I never said a word. Yes. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, girlfriends. Am I not right to feed those guys? But I am from the North, and I do. I never thought I'd live in the North. I thought for sure that I'd live in the South because I thought that's where God would put us. But God decided to put us in the North, and I do absolutely love living up there. And it can be a little cold up there. It was 26 below last year, and that was a little bit of an adjustment for me. But you know what? God gives you the grace to go through everything that you're going to go through. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about today about what Miss Kay said. I'm honored that I'm getting to spend some time with Miss Kay this week too, and how she loves the Lord. And so I knew her a little bit. I know her daughter-in-law a lot a bit, and so her new daughter-in-law. But I think as women, as Miss Kay spoke about today, probably our greatest weakness is that we don't love the Word of God and we don't read the Word of God as much as we should. God's got so many absolutely great and wonderful opportunities out there, but we've got so much stuff going on in our head and so much stuff going around us that we miss out on all the things that God has for us. I have a life verse. How many of you have a life verse? If I'm talking a little fast, slow me down. I'm from the North. We have to run around to stay warm. I'm not kidding. Not kidding. We don't wear boots up there, so you don't need boots up there because it's a Colorado dry snow. So it's really hard because you can't make snowballs. And so, you know, people like to wipe each other out with snowballs. You do that here when it snows. It's too dry. It doesn't make, so you don't have to wear boots. Everything is plowed and you're okay in your little clogs and your little shoes or whatever. You know, and I own one pair of boots. My daughter said, Mom, you got to get another pair. But I don't like boots. I don't wear boots. And so, you know, it snows a foot. And the next day, we still have school the next day. It'll snow 2 feet. We still have school the next day, 2 feet. Everything just gets plowed and off we go. But, you know, probably most, each one of you in here has a life verse that you can go to. And you can say, this is a verse that God comforts me with. That's what our life verses really are about. God comforting us and leading us through all the different circumstances of life. And mine is Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. That will keep him in perfect peace. How many of you all want peace in your life? Yeah. The older we get, the less drama we want to deal with. Am I right? The young girls can deal with drama. I run the other way. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The only way I can have perfect peace in my heart is if I keep my mind on Christ. And then it says, because he trusteth in thee. You know what trust is? Trust is having faith in the Lord. And you know what having faith in the Lord is? A refusal to panic. And so I want you to get out your Bibles and I want you to turn to your maps because I might say something that the Holy Spirit might give you that you're going to need this year. And you're going, Ms. Jenkins, why are you saying turn to your maps? Because you haven't written on them. Your Bible may be full of a lot of quotes from the preacher or things that God gives you from the Word of God when you have your devotions, but your maps are basically empty. There's a lot of places in your Bible to write things down. Write them on your maps. Don't write them on a sheet of paper because when you get spring cleaning, how many of you like me, you tend to throw away and then regret what you've thrown away? That's me. I tend to get rid of a lot of things and I go, oh, I shouldn't have got rid of that. And you get rid of things that you think, I don't need that anymore. And you throw away things down that the Lord gave you and you don't write it down. So write it. You open up your maps and write things that the Holy Spirit's going to give Miss Kay to teach you today. And I hope that you'll claim something that you'll walk away with something from today. It has been a lot of fun. And Miss Wendy has been so sweet and her team of ladies that have organized everything. But each year, I decided that I'm going to sharpen my countenance and my walk with the Lord. Sure, I have my life verse, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. I really lean on that. I grew up in a Christian home in the Northeast. My parents love the Lord, and I come from a large family, and nothing ever really happened to our family. And then I went to Bible college, and I really wanted to serve the Lord with all my heart. And then, just as I was leaving Bible college, I met this guy, and he wanted to take me out. And I wasn't really sure, so I ran for the hills. That's what you girls need to do, is run for the hills. No. And so, but you know what? I ended up marrying him. But you know what? Nothing sorrowful or nothing what I thought bad according to circumstances had ever happened to me. And then I became a pastor's wife. Oh, you pastor's wives. I just heard you go, And now you are helping other people with circumstances and things that God brings into their lives. And you know what? I needed to have a more, my walk with Christ needed to be on a different level. And so what I decided to do is each year I ask God to give me a verse for that year, because we become lazy, do we not? How many of you like to get out and exercise and walk? And so I walk in the summer. And once the snow hits, I'm walking at the girly gym with all the other girlfriends from the church. And we go in after church at night, so some of us older ones, and we go in there and we walk. But you know what? We get lazy sometimes with our Christian lives. And so I ask God about September and October every year to give me a new verse, because I'm going to face different circumstances every year. Our life changes. Our life is full of so many different changes. You know, if you're married, it takes you about 10 years to actually become comfortable and set in your marriage, because you're first married and everything is just happy and wonderful and everything is new and you got a crock pot. And I got 5 coffee pots, I guess because they thought my husband was a preacher. He was going to drink a lot of coffee. So I got five coffee pots. And my husband said, don't get rid of any of them. We might need them eventually. And he does drink coffee. He's a Starbucks crazy guy. And so I ask God now, what do I need? What does my family need? And what do all those ladies around me need next year? So I ask God to give me some things. And so this year I chose Psalm 44, "In God we boast all the day long." Lord, we love you, and we just have a few hours together, and these ladies are just so wonderful, and Southern ladies are just so sweet. I pray that you might bless them, bless their families, Lord. Protect them as we're away from them. And thank you for the word of God. In thy name I pray. Amen. So this year the Lord gave me, "In God we boast all the day long," in Psalms 44. And I wonder if there's an arena in your life that you need to be an encourager. Last year I chose, "My countenance is who Christ is to other." I choose a quote and a verse that I live by every year, because every year my life is changing. Just like it takes 10 years till you really become set in your marriage. First, you're so excited that you're married and you got all your stuff, and then all of a sudden, you know, next thing you start saying to your husband, "I want a baby." And he's going, "Really?" In his mind, he's thinking, no. And the reason he's saying no is because he's seeing dollar signs in his eyes. Am I correct? Then you have that baby. And then you think, "Oh, that baby can't be alone. I want 2 babies." And your husband's really stroking out by then. It's going to cost a lot of money. But once you get through that, having children and settled, it takes 10 years till you really become grounded in that relationship that you have with him. But my countenance is Christ, who Christ is to others. My children, some of my boys were older, and they've all recently gotten married, all 3 of my children. And so I, in 2 years, instead of having 3 children now, I look at it as though I have 6 children, and I love each one of them. I've got a son-in-law that is just hysterical, and I've got 2 daughter-in-laws. Each of them are named Christina. I have 2 Christinas as a daughter-in-law. But you know what? I represent who Christ is to them. Though I love them as though that they're exactly like my daughters, I wonder if they're having a bad day, what the Holy Spirit woos and guides and direct them. Before I left, my one daughter-in-law, and so we drive trucks up there. I drove a truck until, well, it's a long story, my daughter rolled and totaled my truck. I had a really girly, cute little truck. And so, but I went to her truck. She just got a truck, and she's real excited about that. And she's a girly. She's like maybe 85 pounds, 5'5". She's a girly girl, and she taught me how to shoot last year. I learned how to shoot a gun last year. She's a deer slayer. She's really good. And so, little Christina. And so I went to her truck, and while she was at work, and I took a gift, and I tied it with raffia and tied it to her mirror and just told her I loved her. I wonder how many of us sharpen other people's countenance because who Christ is. Mm-hmm. That's what we are. We're the Holy Spirit in our home, in our church. And so that was last year. But this year, God gave me, "In God we boast all the day long." When my children were growing up, I was constantly telling them all the wonderful things that God has done for us today, and what happened to me today, and what's going to happen tomorrow. And really, Miss Kay, you know, I wake up every morning excited to see what the Lord has for me. And really, I really would like to do this, but is there any way that, you know, like Miss Katie, are you Delta? Where are you flying? Oh, USA are bummers. Maybe I'll walk over there with you when she checks in. I just want Katie to start talking and moving her shaking in the suitcase, and she doesn't pretend she doesn't know what's in there, and they open it up, you know. I just want really, you know, I really would just want to be there when that happens to watch people's faces, you know. Don't you like to pull pranks on your kids? Come on, how many of you have teenagers at home? Raise your hand. Hi. God bless you. I loved having teenagers. I love to have fun. My sons, I would rather hang out with my sons than, I don't know, they're just a lot of fun. My sons would pull pranks on me. They would take rubber bands on the sprayer on your kitchen sink, and they would tie it. So then when you turned it on, it would spray right at you. Yeah. Yeah. And then they'd be looking down the stairs laughing and run away. And I went, okay, paybacks are glorious. You can either have a great time with your teenagers, or you can farm them out to somebody else's home. And I had a great time with my teenagers, and everyone was always at my home. So one time, you know, it was this season, and I kind of went to that Halloween store. I know maybe you're not supposed to, but anyway, I went there, and I got this rubber walking arm, and I picked it up. And I said, I'm going to get those boys back. Yeah, how many of you love just to have fun with your sons and your kids? So, yeah, it was after a ball game late one night, and I went down in one of their beds, and I fixed it like there was somebody in there, and I had the arm hanging out. Yeah, and I put one little lamp on in there. So when they came home and they were tired, you know, they're going to fall in the bed. And so they went down there. I heard them go, ooh, ooh, just like that. And I heard them come running up the stairs. I go, what's wrong, guys? Oh, nothing, Mom. Guys are not going to tell you that they're scared. And then they walk down really slow. Chalk one up for Mom. Yeah, I absolutely love to have fun with my kids, and I love to have fun with adult kids, but many people don't feel loved by God. How you love others is determined by how much you feel loved by God. I want my children to know God, love God, and enjoy God in a great way. Not necessarily that they have to be in the ministry full time, but they're in church, and they're reading their Bibles, and they're praying. To know God, love God, enjoy God. That was a big task. Sure, I had to go buy them groceries. I cooked for them. I made their favorite meals. I still do. But my biggest task as a mom was to teach them to know God, love God, and enjoy God. Because how you love others is determined by how much you feel loved by God. If you see a lady that doesn't love very much, she's got some sorrows in her heart that she's got to get fixed. And if you see a lady that's just lovey, huggy, where's Miss Betty? I just love you. She said, I'm a hugger. There she is. I'm a hugger too. And you know what? She must feel loved by God because she's letting everybody else know how important God is in her life. And so the reason I chose this year in God We Boast All the Day Long, because I wanted to go around all day long. Did you see the beautiful sunset? We've got some great sunsets on Lake Michigan, which I live right by, absolutely beautiful, where artists are out there, and they've got their oil paintings, and they're painting the beautiful sunsets across the big lakes. In God, I boast all the day long. I wonder what God's already done for you today, that you can turn to somebody and say, let me tell you what God's done for you today. I know a young mom in here who was in a bad car wreck last night. I don't know where she is. Her parents are in our church. And so, you know what? There she is back there. But you know what? She was in a bad car wreck with her family last night, and her car was totaled. And her mom texted me and said, pray. I really want her to come to the conference today. And I said, okay, I will pray. She's back here today. And I asked her, I said, are you okay? She goes, my neck's a little sore. In God, we boast all the day long that God kept them safe and took care of them. But I wonder about all the small things that you could be boasting to your family about and to your husband about all the day long about the goodness of God. How much time do I have? I'm going. Just keep me going. I have 5 minutes. I haven't even started my lesson. Go to Proverbs. Okay, I'm going to talk really fast. Let me see if I can find my verses. I'm just going to skip everything. I live by principles. And as my life changes and as I get older, I change the principles in my life that I live by. I'm constantly changing them. Now that, you know, all my kids are grown, and it's good principles. But I'm getting older, and everything is changing around me. I hope that you live by principles of the Word of God. I hope you teach your children principles by the Word of God. But I'm just going to teach you or share with you a few little things about some principles that I live with. And so let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. And I'm not going to just talk to you about a husband and wife relationship, though I absolutely love being married. My husband is very adventurous. I know there's one lady in here that knows him. He's very adventurous, and he loves adventure. I'm not adventurous. I used to be very quiet. He pulled me out of my shell. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I wonder of us, are we a good thing to our husbands? Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. I wonder how good we are. And it says, because then it says, and obtaineth favor from the Lord. How many of you want to have a favor? I want God's favor to be upon my life. I want God's favor upon my life. Can I be selfish because of my children? I want to be good to my husband because of my children. But then go over. I'm gonna skip the verses. I'm just gonna go for it. Here we go. So I'm gonna talk to you about in another verse. It says that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, and I think I want to be virtuous. I want my kids to succeed in life. I want them to know God, love God, enjoy God. I want my husband to do exactly what God has for him, what he's supposed to be doing today, what he's supposed to be doing tomorrow. And if I wonder, if I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, which I will someday, and my husband, but it says in the Word of God that when we become married, that we become one flesh, and that there is no kin closer than a husband and wife together. I thought I was going to be, you know, I can tell you the story that I love my father. My father loves the Word of God. Every morning you will hear him at the kitchen table reading the Word of God out loud. When he comes to visit me, every morning at 5 a.m. at my kitchen table, he's reading the Word of God out loud. And I get up and I sneak and I sit on the stairs and I cry and I listen to him read the Word of God. I wonder how righteous a virtuous woman, I wonder what type of really a virtuous woman is, how much she loves the Word of God. And it says we are crowned to her husband. So if I become one flesh with my husband and I'm closer to him than actually my family that I grew up with in the Northeast, I wonder if he will answer for me at the judgment seat of Christ if I am one flesh. Searched the whole scripture, couldn't find out about that. But we are one flesh. And it says, are you a crown to your husband? I wonder when your husband stands at that judgment seat of Christ, we're all gonna be there someday if you've accepted Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And I wonder if he will have to answer for things that I've said or things I've done or things I haven't done. I wonder if his crown is just going to stand there and it's not going to be, you know. Your kids, when they're little, do they still give away crowns at Burger King or did they stop that? My kids wanted to go to Burger King just so they could get a little crown as they would walk out the door. They would be so happy with those little crowns. But I wonder what jewels that you're going to adorn your husband's crown with as a virtuous woman. The very first one that I want to give you, this is something that I changed that my different aspects in my life each year. But I wonder if we're going to let unmet expectations block our relationship with our husband or with our Lord. Frustration comes from unmet expectations from reality. I wonder if we let unmet expectations ruin relationships that we have with each other. Because their expectations weren't met, or the Lord didn't do this for us. If the Lord would have done this for us, I'm going to have to skip a lot. How many have I? 2 or 3 minutes left? Men in their life want to be respected, but most of all, they want affirmation, to know that they're loved, to know that they're needed. I'm just going to, let me skip a lot of stuff and go to number two. I won't even talk to you about, but unmet expectations, don't live circumstantially compromised. Don't let situations that you're going to go through today and tomorrow circumstantially compromise what you're going to do for the Lord. I think about Ruth. First, she's over here, and she's in a great family in the book of Ruth. And then her father-in-law decides, well, maybe, you know, in Bethlehem that there's really not a lot of money here, and maybe we're going to have a famine, let's go over here. And I wonder if he really was supposed to leave where he was supposed to go. Yet his whole family followed him, and he died, and his sons died. And so Ruth had a lot of unmet expectations. Her family is now falling apart. She has a sister-in-law, and she's got a mom, and they're not really sure what to do. So she says, I'm going to take care of Naomi. I'm going to care for you. And what does, and then a sister-in-law takes off. She goes on her own. What does Naomi become? She becomes Mara, which means bitterness. Ruth had a lot of unmet circumstances in her life and situations that she didn't think that were going to plan to go her way. But yet she trusted in the Lord. She had faith in God and she trusted him. And she realized that faith in God is a refusal to panic. That's what happened with Ruth. Number two is love people where they are, not where you wish they would be. I've never told this story, actually, outside of my family, but I did tell Miss Kay. I told Miss Kay this last night. My husband was preaching with Joe Boyd. How many of y'all know Joe Boyd? And so he was a great evangelist, and I'd hurt myself, so I'd get up at 5 a.m. and go work out in the pool so nobody would know I was there. Well, Joe Boyd used to go to the motels and get up at 5 o'clock and witness to the ladies at the desk or anybody working out and win them to Christ, because the ladies at the desk had a lot of time on their hands because nobody was checking in and out. So I was working out in the pool one morning, and here comes Joe Boyd, and he's going, "You, ma'am, come over here. I need to tell you about Christ." I'm like, this is Dr. Joe Boyd. It was absolutely hysterical. I pretended I was hard of hearing, and I just kept swimming. I thought, my husband is going to die if I go. I said, "Yes, Brother Boyd." And him look at me to this day in heaven. Well, he probably knows now that that was me. I just totally ignored him. Love other people where you are, not where you wish they would be. That's what Joe Boyd did. I would go through McDonald's, and Miss Kay, I used to get Diet Cokes. I've given that up. I know they're really bad for you, but how many of you love Diet Coke? Please tell me. I love Diet Cokes. Kept me going. I live a very busy schedule. And this little girl, she would get my money, and finally one day she said, "Oh, hi, Miss Jenkins." And I'm thinking, "Hi, I'm from a small town. Maybe you know who I am. Nice to have you." The next day, "Hi." Yeah, I'd get one small Coke a day to get me through the day I would have. And one day she said, "Miss Jenkins, is there any way I could set up a time to meet with you?" Now, this is a girl at the drive-thru at McDonald's that I don't know. And I said, "Sure, I'd be happy to meet with you." And let's say her name is Jessica. I don't want to give you her name. And I said, "I'd be happy to." And as she was taking my money, she started crying. And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I'm supposed to be at your college." And I'm thinking, maybe she's a bus girl off the bus routes that was going to come to school and serve God with her life. And I said, "Why don't you come meet me later on today?" And I said, "Better yet, I'll come to McDonald's. You tell me what time you get off, and I'll meet you right here." And I came back. I rearranged my schedule and came back. She goes, "I'm from such and such a state." And she said, "I came here to go to college. I never went into the dorms. I have a relative that lives in the area. I moved in with them, and my mother thinks I'm in school. I keep telling her how all the classes are and how chapel's going and what's going on and how great everything is." And she said, "And I'm running from God. And I stayed for 2 weeks with this family member, and it took only 2 weeks, and I'm out of church." And she said, "I need help getting back in." You know, I was so kind to her, even though I didn't know who that McDonald girl was, always speaking, always so kind, giving her uplifting little things about the Lord, that she felt she could come to me and say, "How do I get back in?" And I said, "It can start with you sitting in church with me tomorrow." And you know what? She came to church, and she got her heart right with God, and she joined the choir, and she got in, and she started doing a lot of things for the Lord. And you know what? You have to love people where they are, not where you wish they would be, on your own terms. Because this is what God does for you every single day. I can't wait till she wakes up. I used to study sleep patterns. You go into multiple three sleep patterns, and you only need to be in pattern number three, and that's the one that rejuvenates your blood. I don't know, Miss Kay, you probably know all about that stuff. And so you only have to be in that for a half hour so you can stay healthy, because I wasn't doing that, and I had some health problems. And I wonder if you go from three to two to one, he goes, "Uh-oh, her eyes are fluttering. Oh, no, she's going to wake up. I'm so excited." And you wake up. And the first thing you do is complain. "I can't believe it's raining outside." I say, "I can't believe it's snowing again outside." Or, "Oh, the kids aren't up yet. I don't hear them." "Everyone, get up!" You're running around the house trying to get everybody to school. And the first thing that we think of is not how good the Lord is. I put my head on the pillow, and I don't know, when you get my age, I don't know about you, Miss Enos, but I don't need an alarm clock anymore. I just get up. I'm sure that's how it goes. And I lay there and I say, "Lord, thank you for life today." I look out the one little window by my bed and I peer out this one and I go, my husband called me last night. He goes, "You're never going to believe this. You're missing something great at the house." And I'm like, "What? What am I missing?" He goes, "It's thundering and lightning." We don't have thunder and lightning stars up north because I live in the 45th parallel. He goes, "You're missing it." I said, "Well, video some of it on your phone for me. I love thunder and lightning storms." I'm like, "Oh, I missed a good thunder and lightning storm." But you know what? Even if it's raining outside, thank you, Lord, for that rain. Lord, I pray that you give my husband wisdom today, this for my children, guide me. Who am I supposed to speak to today that I can encourage them in the Lord? And I wonder if we just lay there and we get up and we forget about the Lord. Those I love, I make better. I guess I'm not going to explain a lot. The last one is those I love, I make better. What was number two? Love people where they're at, not where you wish they would be. And those I love, I make better. We stifle ourselves that we can't help everybody else because we're all tied up emotionally and financially. And probably the two biggest things that Satan sends our way is depression and fear and worry. Three things. Write that somewhere, depression, fear, and worry. You got to give them over to the Lord. Can I just have two more minutes? Do you mind? I'll be done. We'll eat really fast at lunch. Never faced really any trials in my life. Was a pastor's wife, enjoyed helping other people, get to know God, love God, enjoy God. See, what I transferred in teaching my children as they were growing up, I just transferred into people that just got saved. That's who I hang out with. This last year, I said, "Lord, could you give our family some families that we can disciple and we can win to the Lord this year?" And God gave us three families that we're discipling, that we led to Christ, that come to our house and eat. And our church people go, "Hey, I don't get to come over." And I go, "Well, if you get saved again, you can come on over and eat with them too. You can hang out with us." But I've never really had things happen in my life. And one day, I'll make this story really quick. My husband was out of town with my oldest son, and I don't know, they were out preaching somewhere. I'm not really sure where. My youngest son, he was in Bible college, and he moved into the dorms at our school. And he said, "Mom, I'm going to come home, and I'm gonna bait the deer blind." I don't know about here, but up north, you know, November 15th, that's a pretty sacred day. Stores closed down. All the public schools closed down the first day of deer season up north. Yeah, it's a pretty big thing. And so almost like Christmas Day. And so Brandon said, "Mom, I'm going to grab a quad, and I've got a buddy from school, and we're going to go out and bait the deer blind. And if you go to our college, you can miss all the classes you want as long as you're hunting on opening day, and you get administrative absences from it," because my husband says, "Go for it, go get them." And so my daughter and I were in the house, and it was just turning dark, and I got a phone call to my phone, and my son Brandon said, Mom, I need you to get in Dad's truck, and I need you to listen to my instructions very carefully." And I said, "Okay, Bees." We called him Bees because he was upset that I didn't give him a Bible name. And when he was little, in the Bible, my husband was telling about the mountain of Bees, the mountain of Beezer. So he nicknamed himself Beezer. So his whole life he's been called Beezer because he's 25 years old and everyone still calls him Beezer. And so everybody from everywhere calls him the Bees. And so I said, "Bees, what's wrong?" He said, "Mom, I think I broke my leg." That got my attention. I jumped into my husband's truck. He said, "Bring Ashley with you and start driving. I'll tell you where I'm at." He said, "We wrecked one of the quads." That's a four-wheeler. And the Gaswell people put up a gate, and they don't have to tell you. They can do what they want because they own the mineral rights under the ground. And I said, "Oh, Bees, I'm sorry." He said, "I hit one of the gates. I need you to come right now." I said, "Okay." I said, "Where's this gate that they put in and they don't have to tell you?" And I jumped in the truck, and we have two tracks up there. If you know what two tracks are, it's like you have dirt or a yard, and it's just like two tracks where the tires go. They're called two tracks. And so he goes, "Go over here, go down the road, and go on this two track and start finding me." And sure enough, he led me right to where he was, and I saw him laying on the ground, and I thought, "Oh, wow, Lord, his hip's broken." And I was like, "Oh, wow." So I go, "Okay, Bees, hang on." And I called 911. But I didn't realize the journey that the Lord was going to take our family on that changed our lives. Changed our lives. This year will be 5 years. And he was bleeding internally. He had split his liver and his pancreas. And his heart was going into cardiac arrest. And so the hip broken really wasn't not that bad. And he had a little thing on his head and bleeding, and I had to go meet the ambulances, because the ambulances won't come back with two tracks unless somebody's leading and guiding them. And I went, and some EMTs, locals, EMTs around the corner came in their truck, and I left my daughter there with him, and they cut all his clothes off, and they're just trying to keep him alive. And so it was a busy situation. They said, "Miss Jenkins, jump in the ambulance." And I was like, "Well, I have some relatives that, you know, are in medical and things like that, and I know you're not allowed in the ambulances." They said, "You need to get in the ambulance tonight." And I said, "Okay." I jumped in, and they were so kind to let me be in there. And they said, "Not in the back, though. You can get in the front. We just want to make sure you're with him." Well, because he was 18 years of old, I no longer could sign for him or tell the doctors what I want. He's his own person if you're in the medical field. And we got to the hospital, and people were already coming. I'm not really sure. I live in a small town of 3,000 people, about 3,500 people in the city limits. And people were already coming. I'm like, how are they beating the ambulance there? I'm not really sure. I didn't call anybody. And within 10 minutes, they were airlifting him out downstate. And they said, "Now, we're going to put two surgeons on board, and we might have to do surgery on board to keep him alive." And, you know, I'm not real smart. And I said, "Well, if you do surgery and it's not going well, could you give me a call on the cell phone?" I had to go back home, grab, you know, and there's men telling me what to do. I'm like, okay, whatever. I was calm, and I just knew the Lord had it under control, because remember, faith is in the Lord is a refusal to panic, because God had it all planned out, and he already knows what's going on. So you need to write that on your maps. Faith is a refusal to panic about what's going on. I was calm about it, and they said, "Go home, get your stuff." Someone took my daughter, and it was about a 3.5-hour drive. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to go get a few stuff, but I'm going to get on the road." I did, and then they flagged me down. They wanted a lady with me, and I really didn't want anybody in the car with me. And I was doing good, and I was getting phone calls, and someone had called my husband, and he jumped in a car, and he was going to drive through the night. And they said this: "When you get down to that hospital, I want you to go to the front desk. If he's checked in, he's alive. If he's not, he's gone on to heaven." And I was like, oh, this is really serious. I knew it was serious, but I didn't know how serious it was. So when I pulled into the parking lot, I said to one of my staff ladies, I said, "You go first." And she said, "We can do this together." God has been so great through everything that he's done for us. And I got there, and I said, "Is Brandon Jenkins on the list?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "What a good God." But I didn't know what we were going to go through, and how for 2 weeks, every hour, there was a nurse in front of him, and it was life and death, and what God was going to take us through. And how good, and the miracles. And I am no stronger than the Word of God. God changed my life. You cannot go in strength every day in your own strength and then have not, life's not gonna, you're not gonna know how to face life. I started reading, I was writing my Bible schedule, and after about 30 hours, I picked up my Bible and I opened it, because it was pretty traumatic, and it says, with God, all things are possible, but not with man. That was the very first verse. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to rest in you. Then the very next day, my Bible reading schedule took me to the book of Isaiah. Now, how many of you think you can get a lot of stuff out of the book of Isaiah? That is my favorite Bible. That is my favorite book of all the Bible. Every day, I'd go up to his room by 7:30. They'd sneak me in through the elevators back to the nurses and doctors, because he was 18 and I had to follow rules. But The staff was so kind. They let me come early, and they let me stay till 10:30 at night and sneak me in and out back with the doctors and the nurses. And I'd go up there, and I'd read one chapter of the book of Isaiah, and I am not telling you, God would get me ready for what was going to go on that day. The book of Isaiah, he would give me a verse that would tell me exactly what was going to go happen. He was then airlifted to another hospital, and his problem was his pancreas. You can't live without your pancreas. And his problem was all his little ducts were all messed up, and things were all going awry, and he went in for a surgery, and they pulled him back out and said, you know, if we do this, he won't live. But, you know, God knew all about it. And then one day they said, you know what, he'll never be able to eat again, because nothing's going to pass through there. And I said, well, we're just going to go day by day because the Word of God is what makes me strong. It's not myself. We try to live every day on our of ourselves. And so this is what the next day God gave me that morning. And it said, I will make the crooked paths straight. That was our whole problem with all his stuff going on. All the other organs seemed to be functioning and repairing themselves, and things were going good. I will make the crooked path straight. And you know what? I said, Lord, you're a good God, and we're eventually going to get to go home with all this. And God did, through some new techniques that the University of Michigan has just come up with. And he was one of the first gentlemen for them to perform some of this was on my son. And I said, God, you gave those men great knowledge so that my son could live for you. And you know, last year they said he'd have other organ troubles. And I can tell you, he has his ups and his downs. He's married to a sweet little girl. And they said, you're going to have some other organs start having some manifestations. But you know, God's raised him back up. And last year his heart was failing because of it. And he had a defibrillator and pacemaker moved in. And I said, does that mean you're going to get to move in with me? I love when my kids come home. He goes, Mom, he went to Mayo. And Mayo said, there's this little town in called Petoskey where one of the best heart surgeons are in Midwest, and you need to go there. I live 20 miles from Petoskey. See, God keeps just fixing everything and doing everything in our lives. And he moved in with me for a while. He couldn't even crawl the stairs. It was too much. But you know what? God's raised him back up again, and he really doesn't need his pacemaker and defibrillator anymore. They're going to leave it in there for a while. See, you don't know all the wonderful things that God has in store for you because you miss out from the Word of God. You don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. This is my strength. And if you were to see my son right now, he's 6'1 and blonde, looks like his father, you really wouldn't know anything that's wrong with him. And he would come talk to you. But you know what? I wonder what jewels, I didn't get to pull them all out, what jewels are you going to place? I don't know, what crowns are you going to place at Jesus' feet? Are you faithful? God's been faithful. God's been, even if my son went to heaven, God was still faithful for all the great things he's done for us. I wonder what crowns you're going to place at Jesus' feet. And then I also, what crowns are you going to place on your husband's crown? In God, we boast all the day long. God knows what's going to happen to me the rest of the day. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And so I hope that you'll learn to trust him. And in trusting him, that you'll have enough faith that he is God, and that you'll refuse to panic, and that you'll get into the Word of God, and that's where you'll get your strength. Dear Lord, I just love you, and I thank you for this time together. I pray you might bless the preacher and his wife here, Lord, for their faithful years of service, Lord, and they're just such sweet people, I pray, and give us a great day. In thy name I pray, amen.